Yahweh, the hour is come again that your son, Yeshua, the word, must be lifted up. For the word said, and I, if I be lifted up, I, Yeshua, will draw men or women, all boys and all girls unto me. So lift Yeshua up again this morning. May we hear him clearly. May we see him without any fog, without any clouds. When this experience will come to a pause, may Yeshua be honored. May Yeshua be obeyed. For thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, thine is the glory forever. And it is in his name we pray. Amen, amen. Well, this morning, beloved, I want to call your attention to two passages of scripture. The first will come from Luke chapter 10, where our theme text is from. That will be our preaching passage for this morning. And the second will come from John chapter 20 and verse number 21. Luke chapter 10, we're going to look at verses 1, 2, and 3. Luke chapter 10, verses 1, 2, and 3. I want to thank our praise team for that special rendition, just to break up our hearts for the word. I'm sorry for the mix up here, but thank God that whatever the enemy means for evil, Yahweh always turns it into our good. So again, I want to thank Minister McCarter and her team and our media team for that special music. Luke chapter 10, and beginning with verse number 1. The Bible says, and after these things, he appointed also 20 others and sent them before his face to the cities and places whither he himself will come. Therefore say he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his field or into his harvest. Go your ways, he said. Behold, I sent you as lambs amongst wolves. Go your ways. Behold, I sent you as lambs amongst wolves. And then we're going to go to John chapter 20, excuse me, and verse 21. John chapter 20 and verse 21. Therefore, he said unto them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. Brothers and sisters, if I were to put a tag on this text, this discourse for our reflection this morning, it would be the Christian call to audacious duty. The Christian's call to an audacious duty. a Christian's call to an audacious duty. When we consider, my friends, the spreading of the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus, the Anointed One, after his resurrection and ascension, and empowering of the disciples, as commanded in Matthew chapter 20, verses 18 to 20, Mark chapter 16, verses 15 through 18, and Acts chapter 1, verse 8, where the Lord commands his disciples to go forth into all the world and teach and preach, lay hands on the sick and heal them, baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. It is easy for us to credit the 12 disciples who were chosen and ordained by our Lord with the sole responsibility of this stupendous assignment to go out and spread this gospel. It's easy for us to credit them at the beginning of the young church of Yeshua for this grave work, the spreading of this gospel. We know their names. His favorite trio, Peter, James, and John. Andrew, we'll add the others. Barnabas. Thomas, Matthew, Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, James, the son of Alphaeus, Matthias, who replaced Judas Iscariot, the betrayer. And then we can add to that Paul, the faithful apostle to the Gentiles, who was the former Saul after his arrest on the Damascus Road. These are named and known and famous as being the ones that our Lord entrusted with the work of going out and spreading this gospel to all the world. But then we come upon this text in Luke chapter number 10 and verse number 1. And there we find the record that it was not just these 12 apostles plus Paul, but there were 70 others that our Lord appointed and assigned to go out into the world to preach, to teach, and to let the world know that Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him, there's no other. Yeshua, Jesus is the way. These were the unnamed and unsung heroes. These 70 disciples we know not of, who had the grave responsibility of going without any wherewithal for their sustenance. They went as lambs amongst wolves. These were commanded by our Lord to go and to only be guaranteed his peace and the hospitality of those who they will come in contact with. These unsung heroes, these nameless disciples. My brothers and sisters, as we embark on this theme, we're going out in twos in 2022. I want us to go back to this passage, to examine it, and to reflect on these 70. I want to use them, beloved, as a metaphor for those of us who may not have our names engraved and carved on some exhibits, some glamorous marquee. Those of us who may not be known by those who record the history of the famous and those who make their mark on the earth. Those who are the unknown disciples appointed by our Lord also to do this stupendous work, this awesome task, this grave responsibility of going into all the world and spreading the good news that we have heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. So this morning, I ask you to take a walk with me through the teachings of this text found in Luke chapter 10, beginning with verse 1 through 3. And there we will find four important points, four major, if you will, points of reference to these unsung heroes, these unnamed disciples, that I believe will encourage our hearts, will help us to take seriously the call of Yahweh on our lives, the appointment of Yeshua on our lives to go out, to do the work, albeit in risky regions, take this grave responsibility of going out as lambs amongst wolves. The first important aspect of this audacious duty, or the first point, major point in this audacious duty, is the appointment of the disciples. The appointment of the disciples. Look with me in Luke chapter 10 in verse 1. It says, and after these things, he appointed 70 others also. I like that adverb, also. Oh, because it denotes the fact that although these 70 were not a part of the 12 whose names we know are written in the biblical record, who has been giving all of the credit and acknowledgement of being the apostles, the ones who walk with our Lord, we can be confident in the fact that 70 were appointed also. And we can place ourselves, if you will, Elder Landry, amongst these 70s, because these were those who were not named. These were those whose names had not been recorded in biblical history. These were those who are not placed on the pedestal of those like Paul, and Barnabas, and Matthew, and James, and John, the sons of Zebedee, and Peter. These 70, the scripture says, were also appointed by our Lord before his death. Before his death, he called them just like he called the 12. He appointed them just like he appointed the 12. And I stopped by to tell somebody today that you can take confidence in the fact that you are appointed if you have accepted by faith the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Yeshua as your ransom, as the ransom for your sins, as your King and your Lord. If you have been call and have received and accepted that call of Yahweh on your life, you are one of the appointed. You are like the 70. Yes, you may not be hired by the organized church, but you can be confident that you are an appointed disciple. You may not be ordained by mankind and given a title and a tag, but you can be confident that you are an appointed disciple. You may not have gone to the halls of theological education at Oakwood and Andrews and CUC or whatever, but you can be confident that you are an appointed disciple of Yeshua. I wish somebody would hush their neighbor and say, I am also appointed. I like that adverb also because it includes me. Yes, I may not be as famous, but I will not. I will not deny. I will not refuse. I will not take lightly. I will not be nonchalant and callous with the call that Yeshua has placed on my life. We, beloved, those of us who are not as famous as the 12, we have been called by Yeshua at a time such as this to embark on this risky responsibility and this grave task of sharing the gospel of Yeshua. The first point is the appointed disciples. And then the second point that we want to highlight here is the assignment for the disciples. The assignment for the disciples. Not only were they appointed by the Lord, but they were given an assignment by the Lord. Here's the text. Luke chapter 10, verse 1b, it says, "And he sent them before his face, two and two, or two by two, to the cities and places where he himself would come." There are two important components of this assignment. The assignment for the disciples that I want us to consider this morning. The first is the signature of our Lord's authority and intentionality. The signature of our Lord's authority and intentionality. Here is the signature of his authority. Unlike the 12 disciples, Yeshua appoints, he calls and anoints 70 and divides them into 35 groups of twos. He divides them into 35 groups of twos. Why would he call this 70 and divide them into 35 small groups? I've been talking about us organizing and establishing these small groups so that we can be able to cover the vast region of our community and beyond. And I want to suggest this morning that our Lord chose the 70, and added them to the 12, even though these 70 are not named, because our Lord's omniscience, his all-knowingness, realized the gravity of the responsibility and the massiveness of the regions to be covered. He understood that 12 men could not have done it. And so he appointed 70 and divided them into groups of twos, because he wanted every region to be covered. He would not leave any place untouched. The mercy of God and the justice of God compels that this gospel must go throughout the whole world, my brothers and sisters. It says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "That ye may be witnesses of me, starting in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." Matthew 28, "Go ye into all the world," not just your little community, no, "into all the world and preach and teach every nation, every kindred, every tongue, every people the vastness of the region and the gravity of the responsibility require more than just 12. And so he chose the 70. Beloved, I told you earlier that the 70 is a metaphor of the rest of us that Yeshua has chosen to go out and spread this gospel, especially at a time such as this. The signature of his authority and his intentionality. What is the signature of his authority and his intentionality? First, he wants the gospel to be spread throughout this massive region, throughout Baton Rouge, throughout Denham Springs, throughout Central, throughout New Orleans, throughout Alexandria, throughout Shreveport, throughout Lafayette, all of Louisiana, but not just that, beyond. He wants the gospel to be spread in every state of the United States, but not only that, beyond, he wants the gospel to be spread through all of the continents, Africa, Asia, Europe, Antarctica. He wants the gospel to be spread throughout Australia. He wants the gospel to be spread throughout the islands of the sea. He wants this gospel of the kingdom to be spread throughout this whole world. And so he needs this group. But that's not the only reason, beloved. I want to suggest that the other reason for which he sent them two by twos in this group of twos by teams is because of companionship and for a corporate work. He wanted them to have partnership and companionship, because he is sending them as lambs amongst wolves. He is sending them in a risky environment, an environment that is full of risk. And he needs them to be able to work together, beloved. He needs them to be able to work as a team. He needs them to work in companionship and partnership. I want to confess this morning, and I believe that this was a part of our Lord's intentionality, the signature of his authority and his intentionality. He understands that I cannot work with everybody and that everybody cannot work with me. He understands that you cannot work with everybody and everybody cannot work with you. Some of us are Pauls and we can only work with Silas, and some of us are Barnabas and we can only work with John Mark. And it's not because we are holier or more righteous or better. No, no, no. It is because we have personality and preference differences. And our Lord understands, beloved, because of our personality differences and because of our preference differences, we all cannot work together, but we can all work with somebody, and we should all be willing and able to work with somebody. I may not be able to work with a John or a Paul, but I may be able to work with a Mark or a Timothy. You may not be able to work with a Mary or a Martha, but you may be able to work with a Sue or a Susan. We all have different personalities and different preferences, and we should not allow that to stifle the work and dwarf the work and truncate the work, but we should find somebody that we are compatible with and somebody that we share common preferences with, and we should join that person, because no one person can do this work. I don't care how strong, I don't care how intelligent, how wise, how blessed you are. We are being sent as lambs among the wolves, and we need somebody to pray with us, somebody who will pray with you, and you
pray with and for them. Somebody who will hold you accountable and you hold them accountable without you judging one another. Somebody who will stick with you through in the thick and the thin and during the hustle and the bustle, during the hard time. You need a partner. And Yeshua understood that. And so the Bible says he sent them out two by twos. And I want you to know, Brian, today that God is calling us to go back into the two and two mode as we attack this city in 2022 and beyond. No one can do it by themselves. I think it was John Donne, 19th century or 18th century English poet, who said, no man is an island entire to himself. Each man is the piece of the continent, a part of the main. We're all joined together. And we all should have one goal. And we may not be able to work with everybody, but we should be willing to work with somebody. And so Yeshua sent them out in twos because he wanted to authenticate his intentionality and his authority that this work is too vast for any one person. It is a work that calls for partnership and relationship. The second key component of this assignment is their security was ensured by his presence. Look at what the text says. The text says he sent them before his face into every city and places, whether he himself will come. What this means to me, my brothers and sisters, is there is nowhere that the Lord will send to us that he will not be with us. They were not behind him. They were not beside him. They were before his face. In other words, he saw them. He saw where they were going. He saw the danger at hand. He saw the situation they were getting, and he was there with them. Did he not promise us in Matthew chapter 28 and verse number 20, Lord, I'll be with you always, even on to the end of the age? In other words, there is nowhere that you will go on the assignment of the kingdom of God where the eyes of Yahweh will not be on you to keep you and to protect you and to provide for you. Come here, Joshua. Do you have a testimony? Joshua says, yes, in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 5, he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He said, no man will be able to stand before you, no woman, no boy, no girl, nothing. Oh, yes, weapons will be formed, but no weapon that is formed will prosper when you are on the mission of our Lord. And so the text says, he sent them before him to the cities and places, whether he himself will come. God will not send us anywhere where he himself will not come. Hallelujah. He will not send us, beloved, anywhere where he himself will not be with us. And so the first important point in this audacious duty is the appointment of the disciples. He appointed 70 others also. The second important point is the assignment. He sent them out two by two, companionship and partnership. He secured or ensured their security. and the ability to accomplish the work in this vast region. Then the third point in this audacious duty is his assessment of the harvest. His assessment of the harvest. The text says in Luke chapter 10 in verse number 2, therefore say he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. That's the assessment of the harvest, beloved. Our Lord knows that the harvest is ripe and the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. I'm so glad, Elder Manuska, that not only is our Lord the assessor of the harvest, not only does he have the ability to assess the harvest and let us know what are the ailment and the malady of the harvest is, but he also has the antidote, the solution, the panacea for the problem that is wrong with the harvest. So he says, here is the problem. The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. What is the panacea? What is the antidote? What is the solution? What is the cure? He says, pray. Oh, bless his name. Pray to the one who owns the harvest. Hallelujah. That he may send forth laborers into his harvest. We have to recognize that the harvest does not belong to the appointed disciples. The harvest belongs to Yahweh, and he is the Lord of the harvest. And when there is problem with laborers, when there is problems with reaping the full harvest, Yeshua has given us the antidote. He's given us the panacea. He's given us the cure, the medicine. He has given us the solution to the problem. And the solution is prayer. Why? Because it's not by might nor by power, but by his spirit that this harvest will be fully reaped. And so he says, pray. Pray to the Lord of the harvest. I want to suggest this afternoon, beloved, that there is a synthesis. There is a oneness with the reapers or the laborers and the harvest. The laborers of the harvest and the harvest are one and the same. So that if the laborers go out and reap the harvest, they are reaping more laborers for the harvest. I wish somebody would hear me today. You cannot go out and labor to reap the harvest without reaping or without employing, without hiring more harvesters for more laborers for the harvest, because the harvest and the laborers are one and the same. So the more laborers we put out, the more harvest we bring in, and in turn, the more laborers we have for more harvest. Because the harvest is not wheat. The harvest is not crop, literally. The harvest is people. And the more people we have, the more people we can send out, and the more people we send out, the more people we can bring in, And the more people we bring in, the more people we will send out. And the more people we send out, it's the more people, I wish somebody would hear me. It's the more people we will bring in, the harvest and the harvesters and the laborers are one and the same. So the Lord is saying to us, pray to the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. That is the solution to the problem of the harvest. He has appointed us as disciples, unnamed and unsung though we may be. He has given us an assignment, Elder Prochet, to go out in twos, to partner in teams of twos. Because as we partner, beloved, we will recognize that we are not just a duo, but we are a triangle. And the Yeshua himself is the vertical point of that triangle. You and your partner are the horizontal point, but the vertical point that holds that horizontal point in place and together is our Lord. So even though we are going out two by two, we are not just two by two, it's two by two plus the Lord himself. That's why we are in front of him. That's why we are before his face. That's why he sees us. Hallelujah. And so here we are, the first important point in this audacious duty is the appointed disciples. The second important point is the assignment for the disciples. The third important point is the assessment of the harvest. And then, my brothers and sisters, the fourth and final important point in this audacious duty is the hazard or the risk that is the risk that is ahead of us. We are going into a risky region. The devil is a lie. Somebody keep calling here and I keep hanging up on them and they keep calling some more. The risk that is ahead of us. What is the risk? The Lord says in Luke chapter 10 in verse 3, therefore say he unto them, peace be unto you. Go your ways. I am sending you forth as lambs amongst wolves. No, not as sheep amongst wolves, but as lambs. Do you get the picture? I am not sending you as sheep. Sheep is grown. The wolves may be able to still attack the sheep and kill some of them, but the sheep are grown and so they can fight for themselves, especially if they are in groups. But he says, I'm sending you as lambs, as humble and harmless and fragile lambs amongst a pack of wolves. Oh, my brothers and sisters, this is the hazard that we must contend with. And our Lord give us heads up. He's not just sending us out without letting us know what we're going to have to deal with. He is giving us heads up. That's why he wants us to go in groups of twos, that we are going into a hazardous territory. We're going into an audacious environment. This is risky business. When you decide to accept the call of God on your life, not to make a name for yourself, not to have plaques given to you and to be placed on the pedestal and have all of the validation and affirmation, but you are doing it because you've been saved by grace through faith, and there is no secret what God can do. What he's done for you, he can do for others, and you are so excited to accept this call as one of these 70, these unsung, unknown, unnamed disciples to go out. You must recognize that you are going into hazardous territory. You are taking a risk. And the Lord has told us, I'm sending you as lambs amongst wolves. In other words, you may contract and be infected by the coronavirus COVID-19, Delta or Omicron variant. I'm sending you as lambs amongst wolves. You will be rebuked, scorned. I'm sending you as lambs amongst wolves. You will be attacked, castigated. You will be abused by the very people that I'm sending you to work with and to work for. I'm sending you as lambs amongst wolves. You will have to lose loved ones. You will have to lose families. You will have to lose jobs and businesses. I'm sending you as lambs amongst wolves. You will have to experience the tragedy of death. Death of your loved ones by sickness and auto accident. Gunshots that were not intended for them. You are going out in a hazardous territory as lambs amongst wolves. Beloved, this is the fourth point of this audacious duty to which you and I are called. And we cannot relent. We cannot retreat. We cannot turn back. even though the dangers are there, because we know that he is with us. Hallelujah. He says in John 20 and verse 21, peace I give to you, as my Father hath sent me, so sent I you. Oh, beloved, you need to know this morning that our Lord was sent by Yahweh in a hazardous territory. This was a risky assignment. This was an audacious duty. He was sent, beloved, to suffer, to be rebuked and scorned. And he's sending us as his Father sent him. He was rejected by mankind, and we will be rejected by mankind. He was bruised and battered, and we have to be willing to be bruised and battered. He was scorned and rebuked, and we have to be willing to be scorned and rebuked. As the Father hath sent me, so send I you. And so this morning, as we prepare to take on this assignment, this audacious duty, oh, my brothers and sisters, I want you to know that we must be convicted. We must be certain. We must be confident that we are also his appointed disciples. We must accept the assignment. We must recognize and acknowledge the assessment of the harvest and the antidote, the resolution for it. Then we must be willing to go forth, recognizing that we are in a hazardous environment. We have to do this in 2022 and beyond. Why? Because we know that living, he loved us. Dying, he saved us. Bearing, he carried our sins so far away. Rising, he justified us, freed us forever. And one day, my brothers and sisters, one day he's coming back. Glorious day. Oh, I want to see. Look upon his face. There to sing forevermore of his saving grace. One day on the seas of glory, the streets of glory, there to raise my voice. No more hazardous environment. No more pain, no more suffering, no more death. The harvest would have been fully reaped. One day, he's coming back. Glorious day. I don't know about you today, but I want to make an appeal as I close this message. If you have been convicted by this word this morning, that you are one of the 70 unknown and unnamed disciples appointed in these last and evil days in this to go out in this hazardous, this audacious environment, this risky environment. If you believe that you are one of them, that you have been appointed and anointed by Yeshua. No, your name is not going to be on a marquee. Nobody will give you a plaque. They're not going to put you up on the pedestal. You're not going to be amongst the list. The 12 disciples. Oh, but one day, we're going to hear these words from our Lord himself. Welcome, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. Now come, and I'll make you rulers over many things. If that is your desire, that is your prayer, that is your commitment this morning, then I ask you to just drop in that chat, I am appointed also. Just write that in the chat. I am appointed also. I am appointed also. I am appointed also. May God bless us. May he keep us. May we go out as those who are appointed to do the work of the kingdom. In Yeshua's name, amen.